Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and the Lord has given us another warm day here in Independence, Ohio, the suburb of Cleveland, where we're sitting in the studio. And we're so glad wherever you are in the whole world that are listening, and we know we have thousands of listeners from all over the world in almost most of the countries of the world. Al, did we get a new any new countries coming to us on our website?
Nothing new on there this month.
Okay, not any new ones this month, but boy, we just thank the Lord for all the ones that we have here. And we have some of these countries. Wow. I'm just looking at our paper right here. We have, it says China, 389 hits on the website from China. That's amazing, you know. And you think, here we are in the studio in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. And we have 189 people that got contacted from China. I'm looking across here. Let's see. Brazil, 692 people listening from Brazil. And this is this subject that we have, it is the most important subject. And I think some people may not understand why we're doing what we're doing. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word, John 17, thy word is truth. And all we're saying is that we have the word of God today, and it is true. And Paul warned about, he says, there's many that corrupt the word of God. So there's many corruptions back then, many corruptions today. But God has showed us where the true text is, the true word of God. And it's been translated into many countries. We're not saying that the English is the only one that has the true translation. We're just saying there is a true text that has come down to us from the apostles. And it is found in our authorized King James Bible. And there are so many changes that have been made. I was listening to an international TV program today, and I just thank God for it. Some lady called in. She said, well, why is thine is the power and the glory in the Bible? It shouldn't be in there. It just slipped in. And actually, the people on the TV network, the panel that was on there, they actually got it right. And they agreed with what I have been basically and what we have been basically saying on this station for the last 6 years. And unfortunately, so many of the Bible teachers, they have not really investigated this subject. And they're teaching some of the things that the Greek departments in the evangelical and fundamental schools, and they've got it, and so many of the Greek departments, they've got it wrong. And if you think that I'm out on the limb, and I suppose some of you do because you've never heard some of the things I'm saying, most of the leading fundamentalists realized the problem in their day, even in the last century, where the Greek departments are totally messed up on this subject. And what happened is they found the Pope's Vatican Bible put out by Constantine, and there's two of them, and these two put out by Constantine, disagreed with each other in 3,000 places, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus. And because they were well-written, they called them the oldest and best, and these were under Arian influences, the Arian heresy denying the complete deity of Jesus Christ. And so they were also ecumenical. And so they had messed with the scriptures in many, many places, taken out hundreds of changed hundreds of words, taken out dozens and dozens of scripture verses, and just mutilated. And yet it's enough the same that it almost looks like the real thing. But if you really investigate, there's many, many changes. And so the Greek departments had it wrong. So many of the fundamental leaders in the past, like Charles Spurgeon, and he warned about this corruption in his last message in his Bible Institute. And then J. Frank Norris, a leading Baptist, just taught the English Bible, meaning the King James Bible. Moody also was aware of this problem, and he had, I'm sure, talked to Spurgeon about, because they were friends. And he set up Moody Bible Institute to with teaching just the King James Bible. He didn't care much for Greek professors. He said we can find 100 people to teach Greek well, but very few to teach the Bible well. And so many of the fundamental leaders just taught the English King James Bible. But somewhere along the line, they forgot about the problem. And today, there's so much chaos among evangelicals because these Bibles that they're putting out, they do not have the same words. They have the same stories, but very, very important words have been changed. And that's what we have been talking about. And I just simply reiterate this thing that we have the text called the Received Text. People have attacked it, but it's found in many ancient translations. And there's hundreds of ancient Bibles in museums in Egypt, that in Europe, that back up the King James Bible. So the evidence is in favor of the King James, but over 99% of the very ancient manuscripts that came out long before Vaticanus and Sinaiticus came out. And most ministers in the Greek department, being taught in the Greek departments, they have been taught the falsehood. And then after they have started to promote it and teach it, pride keeps them sticking with it. And they refuse to look at the evidence. Jesus says, you love the honor that comes from one another. Therefore, you cannot hear my words. And so we're trying to show where the true text is, and it's based on many ancient translations coming down to us in ancient manuscripts that back up the King James over 99%. And we're simply doing this because God said, thy word is truth. And we don't want to have people questioning God's word. It says, Jesus taught us to believe his word is true. It says, in thy word do I trust. And they're causing distrust in the word of God. And it's going up all the time because of evangelical and fundamental preachers many times on radio and television that haven't the faintest idea what they're talking about, but they're teaching a lie regarding the Bible. I hear all the time in Christian radio and television, we go by the scripture, the scripture is true, but they don't tell what the scripture is. And if they talk about the scripture, they talk something about originals, which they don't have. And James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something we look at. We have a King James Bible, we're looking at it, and it's the text come down to us from the apostles. And it says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. And so we have it in our heart and in our mouth, and that's what we talk about on this program. Well, we're going to talk about some prophecy today if we get to it, but first we're going to have a fantastic science report and the Bible by Pastor Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again. And just a reminder to our listeners that you can visit the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find more about Bruce there, Bruce Musselman, and his ministry. You can also listen to him on there, some messages and even singing on there. You can read his article that he got this whole thing with the King James Bible started for him years ago. He wrote an article on it, and that's also there at the website, whereisgodsword.com, as well as past programs. We have those listed there. You can listen to them. They're MP3 files that you can download and listen to or listen to online, and all that's at whereisgodsword.com. Well, today, I want to do something kind of a little bit different here, and I was thinking about some of the things we've talked about and some things that I've been reading. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the last two verses of the chapter, last two verses of 1 Timothy, it says in verse 20 and 21, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And we talk about science in the Bible. We want to make it clear that we're not against science. It's what we're against is what Timothy talks about here, science falsely so called. And I've got a biology degree myself, and let me tell you, from going to school and learning evolution, it's science falsely so called. It's made up. And We had a teacher that was teaching us on the theory of evolution at Colorado State University, and she said, now here's the chart, evolutionary chart of the horse. And it's something that I remember seeing in high school biology courses, and no doubt many of you have seen it. If you've got a high school or junior high school student in your house, it's probably there, and you can see the evolutionary chart of the horse. If you go to the bookstore and you buy a brand new book on horses, you'll probably find in there the evolutionary chart of the horse. And in it, you'll see the horse evolving, supposedly, from a little creature with several toes, and then the number of toes varies, and it gets bigger and bigger until, voila, you have the modern horse. Well, there's a couple problems with that chart. And one of the problems is what our professor at Colorado State, who was, I don't know if she was an atheist, but she sure was not a born-again Christian. She may have been an agnostic. She might have been an atheist, but she never really said. But she believed in evolution, and she showed us the chart, and she said, here, you've all seen this chart. You've all been taught this chart. There's just one thing about it. It's not true. That was the evolutionist teaching evolution to a college class. She said, it's not true. Now, then she went on to explain. She said, we show people this and we tell people this because we don't have anything better to illustrate what we want to teach them. Isn't that amazing? Now, again, what is he saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 20? Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Well, what's been committed to our trust? Well, it's just what Bruce talks about here. God's words have been committed to our trust, and God's words are very clear about how we came to be. God created us in the beginning, God, and he says, keep that which is committed to our trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. I don't know about you, but when a college professor says that we use something that we know is false and tell people it's true because we don't have anything better, that kind of sounds like vain and profane babblings, doesn't it?
Amen.
And then it says, and the oppositions of science falsely so called. Well, how can that be science when it's using something that they know is true, telling people otherwise in order to teach something that they have no better evidence for? When the best evidence you have is made up and by your own admission, I think that's science falsely so called. And that, in a nutshell, is what evolution theory is based on. It's made up evidence that doesn't exist. And today, it's so ingrained that there's no doubt people that are listening to this thinking you're crazy, thinking they would never say something like that. Well, all I know is at Colorado State University, my professor, who is an ardent proponent of evolution, said the evolutionary chart of the horse is made up. We tell people and tell it's real and use it because we don't have anything better. And it's still being found in biology books in high school today. It's still being found in books that you buy at the store on horses. You say, well, surely the high school teachers would know that. Well, guess what? Most of them have been taught that it's real too, because most of your high school biology teachers, they were education majors. They weren't biology majors. There's a few that were, but in the education courses, they were also taught that it's real. And this is just one small area in looking at this whole idea of science and the Bible. Beware of science falsely so-called, and avoid profane and vain babblings. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy here. And the problem is, if you're not careful, you can be like he said in verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. We need to go with the Word of God. It's been proven. It's based on truth. It's not based on made-up stories. Oh, and by the way, one other thing. She told us the little animal, the Eohippus that's on the chart, it's actually a rock hyrax that lives today, not even related to a horse. And you can find everything from miniature ponies today and some ponies that have horses and ponies with more than one toe that exist today, all the way up to the giant Clydesdales and things like that, and various things in between. So the size variations are still there, and we can go with God's word and not the lie of evolution.
Now, Preacher, I thank you for that report. I always enjoy those reports, and they're very informative. And that's the thing. We can trust God's word, and that's what we're trying to say on this program. We can trust God's word, but it's not only something that used to exist, but the Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. And we're thankful to God that he just one day somebody invited us to come on a radio station, gave us free time, and then the thing just expanded worldwide. I don't even know. I know there's a great cost to it, and I don't even know what it is. It's just being paid for, and I just say God gave it. We'll be on as long as the Lord lets us be on. But I'm going to talk about Revelation 13 today, just in the last few minutes of our program, and it talks about what's going on in the world today and the coming world dictator. And we're right on the edge of that, because if God allows one of these Muslims to come into a city and put off an A-bomb in a city, man, I tell you, that's going to cause so much consternation. I hope it doesn't happen, but it can. You know, the great chapters in Ezekiel where it talks about the invasion, and many people think of Russia. You know, something they don't talk about too much is that when that invasion takes place, God says he'll send isles, fire on the isles. And that looks like that there could be an atomic an attack on some many places in the earth. And it's not something good to look forward to. But at this point, there's going to be this world dictator set up. And we're going to see what the Bible says about in the next few minutes. I stood upon the sand of the sea. That's John talking, and he's on the Mediterranean Sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, upon the horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And so he stands in the Mediterranean Sea, and he sees this beast, and the beast represents a world, represents a nation that is raised, an empire that is raised up. And I know recently they showed the rise of Adolf Hitler on one of the Newsmax programs, and you see it's just full of blood. In every empire that is raised, it's a bloody thing. And so it's God pictures these empires rising, and they're pictured as bloody beasts. And it said the heads full of blasphemy, and the kings that came in the past in these empires that were raised, they claimed that they were the god kings of these empires. And this started with the wife of Nimrod claiming that she had a virgin-born son of God, basically. And he was called Baal, and the mother was called Ashtaroth, or the Queen of Heaven, which is still worshipped today around the world under the name of Mary. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. Now, I can't be sure about the leopard, but it sure pictures the United States. A leopard is a beast that runs very rapidly, one of the fastest running beasts. And it's white. I think it's yellow, white, and black spots. And so it could picture the different nationalities, red, white, and yellow, and black. And it's a powerful beast that can tear and rip something apart. And it moves very rapidly. And it could picture America as the heart of this great empire that is raised up. And his feet were as the feet of the bear. Well, these symbols in the book of Daniel, we're going to use symbols that are used today and apply it to today. But they were all symbols that these countries used. Like, for instance, the bear was a picture of Persia. And I think that the leopard was a picture of was a picture of Greece, and the lion in Daniel was a picture of Babylon. And you see these symbols right there in Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom of the lion. But I believe that we should apply these things to today. So we have a leopard, very well could be talking about the United States. Bear is a symbol of Russia, the feet as of a bear, and it could be an ally on this world empire. And his mouth is the mouth of a dragon, of a lion. Well, the lion is a symbol of England today. And this certainly pictures what is going on today, because A lion, the mouth of a lion, well, that would be referring to the English. He spoke English language. He spoke like the lion did. The universal and world language today is the English language, and so God is saying that this empire will have a language that is English. His mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. Now, that's the devil. And it says, and his seat and great authority. And so we have today, in even in the Masons, one of the leading Masons, Albert Pike, says our God is Lucifer. Well, Lucifer is the name of Satan. You may not like to call him the devil or Satan, but I mean Lucifer, and he's Satan. And they have the Kabbalah, which is connected with satanic worship. And a lot of this stuff is concealed and underground, but it will come to the surface, and it will rise, and it's right there, ready to rise. And so the dragon, the devil, is going to give this empire its power and his seat. So it'll have a seat and great authority. There'll be a kingdom. There'll be a capital city. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, one of the heads of this ancient beast was Rome. And, of course, it was wounded in the last Roman Empire around 476. Augustus Romulus, I believe his name was. He was a Gothic king, but the Roman Empire, the soldiers became German, and eventually these German tribes took over the ancient Roman Empire, and it was wounded, but it came back under the authority of the papacy, and the papacy is a kingdom. And we mentioned, to understand the papacy, and if you don't think that, if you think that what we're saying is wrong, I just invite you to investigate. You don't have to believe anything we're saying. Investigate for yourself. Everything we say, we've investigated this. But for a long time, the Pope wore a three-tier crown. One was kingdom of the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual kingdom. Kingdom of the kingdom of heaven refers to Jesus ruling over the heavens and the earth. And the king of the kingdom of purgatory, which is a non-existent place. And so they have they ruled over the kings of the earth, and what they did was, how they did this is that they would cut off the sacraments, and they put the interdict on a kingdom to force the king to do what the papacy wanted by cutting off the sacraments. And if the people didn't have the sacraments, they think that they would go to hell. Now let me tell you something first of all about that. We're not saved by sacraments. The Bible says by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We do a direct contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of my sin. I'm willing to repent. I accept you as Lord. That means he's the boss. Jesus, that means he died for our sins, paid for all of our sins. And from now on, he will get us to heaven. We go to heaven. We're not saved through any sacraments. We take the Lord's Supper and communion and baptism, but they don't save us. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So now they come right out and worship the devil, and they worship the beast. Now, the beast is the empire, but it is also the leading figure in that empire. It is the leader of the empire, the dictator, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. So they worship this guy. So what do they have? They have a universal religion that is ruling over the kings of the earth. They were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blaspheming powers given unto him to continue 42 months. And that's three and a half years. And he blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints. Overcome and power is given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now our time is about up, but it says in these passages, if you read, first of all, he will control the religion of the world, and they're working towards one world religion right now. Then he will control the financial situation of the world, and you can't buy or sell unless you have that, you're into that system. And he will control the military of the world. And so he will control the whole world that way. But then eventually the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and throw him off of his high chair, throw him off of his throne. And Jesus will take over because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we can know him today. We can accept him as our Lord and Savior. Well, the world is heading that way, and we see it every day, but...
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.